Well, the other thing is when he throws that bender right down the middle of the plate, either the catcher or the pitcher tries showing the umpire up. And he's proven to us tonight that he's not going to be showing up.
2-1 the count now to Terrace as the 2-1 pitch popped up falling out of play. When I was in Broughton today, someone doing the Score Monster, you know, online thing for the state website, Brad Mergen threw a pitch that the umpire didn't give him, and the guy made a nice comment. He said, it's always tough when you miss down the middle, and I got a kick out of that one. 2-2 pitch here to Terrace. That's down in the dirt as Jaron lays off that one. Fill it up at 3-2. Spitzak came in on relief of Nels Nelson. Last inning in the sixth inning. Nelson, yeah, Kurt, he did a pretty good job. Six innings against the Springers and give up two runs. That's what you can ask for in a state tournament game. 3-2 pitch. Terrace hits it on the ground toward short. Shortstop up with it. Quickly fires across the diamond, 6-3, to retire Jaron Terrace in a quick out number two.
Well, he did give up two runs, but he gave those up to the first two batters that he faced, the Springers, and he kind of was had him down in check after that. Other than he got a couple guys on there, they did get a break with the pickoff move, but the manager seen something. Maybe it was too many times coming around to the same part of the order that we need to make a change here. And trust me, Austin and Cold Spring know an awful lot about each other.
See each other an awful lot. You're right there as Hinkemeyer squares to bunt and pulls back. 1-0 the count. Zach singled in the second inning. Bounced out to third in the fifth. He's 1-for-2. 1-0 pitch that's fouled into the netting. Evens it up at 1-1. One and one the count to Zach Hinkemeyer, ninth place hitter in Tim Ilias's Cold Spring Springer batting order. 1-1 pitch that is looped down the right field line, but that will twist foul. Now 1-2. Hinkemeyer in a hole. Should Zach reach, Brian Hansen on deck for the Springers. Back to the top of the order. 2-1 our score here in the bottom of the seventh inning. Springers would love to get that run back, maybe then some. They gave up there in the top of this, the seventh inning. 1-2 pitch, Hinkemeyer on the ground to third. Third baseman fields it at the belt, throws across the diamond, and Hinkemeyer retired 5-3 again. Nice inning over at third for John Frein, and that does it for the Springers. Here in the seventh, they go in order. No runs, no hits, no Austin Ayers, nobody left on base. To the eighth we go. It is 2-1 in favor of Cold Spring. We're back in a minute right here on KASM. Getting late early, Kurt Hemish.
It indeed is here. It's the top of the eighth inning, and the Springers got a 2-1 lead that they hopefully can hang on to here, Kirby.
It'll be Jordan Hart, Matt Cano, Tyler Nelson due up for the Austin Greyhounds. 2, 3, and 4. A lot of times you taught me as a young man, Kurt, that eighth inning can be a lot more tough than the ninth inning, just depending on where you're at in the batting order, and this is it right here.
Well, it is, because you're facing the 2, 3, and 4 hitters. That's the heart of their lineup right here, and hopefully Zach Femright can stay in his game.
Hart looks at a first pitch ball. Second pitch cut on and missed by Jordan Hart. Evens it up at 1-1. Singled in the first, walked in the third, bounced out to short in the sixth. He's 1-for-2 on the day with a walk. He was the guy who got gunned down at home and also caught stealing. He's ran into a couple outs on his two adventures around the pads tonight as the 1-1 pitch missing right there. Now 2-1. Z right back. His 2-1 pitch, that is popped up, foul and out of play, evens us up at 2-2. Very dangerous Matt Cano on deck for Austin, and then he'll be followed by Tyler Nelson for the Hounds here in the eighth. Femright, 9 strikeouts thus far here this evening. He rocks and fires. There is that was fouled away, excuse me. I don't know how these guys can make contact as late as some of these swings start, huh?
Well, it looks like it was almost in Holthaus's mitt when he decided to swing at that one, yet he just gets enough on it to follow it over their dugout.
Femright right back. 2-2 offering. That is hit in the air, short left field, as Jungles right on it. He will make the catch. I didn't think he got that good of wood on that, but Alex makes the catch right there, barely a step in. I thought that might bloop in there, but Springers get the out.
You called it when you said bloop in there, because off the bat, I thought it was going to be a little Texas leaguer for him there, but fortunately for the Springers, Alex Jungles came in and made a nice catch on the play.
So one down. Bring Matt Cano to the plate.
Got a score in from Broughton, another Central Minnesota team, Sobieski, leading 5-0, Kirby.
Who they got tonight?
They are playing Worthington.
Worthington and Sobieski is Cano taking right there. That pitch missing up and away. See this from time to time, Kurt. The good hitters just in there. They want to see, late in the game, eighth inning, maybe make Femride throw a couple. Doesn't mean he won't hack at this one. As the 1-0 pitch is hit on the ground towards second. Garrett Fox playing short right field, a little shift right there. Almost a Major League-esque shift where you would see maybe a team play David Ortiz at some point. The big left-handed swinging Matt Cano bounces it right to Garrett Fox, who was playing short right field, had to come in but made a nice play. That's what you can do when you can recover like that.
Well, when you're quick enough like Garrett Fox is, and Matt Cano is not the quickest runner anymore, and they know how hard he's going to go hit the ball all the time, just like he did there, and he had plenty of time to throw Matt Cano out. And you see where Garrett Fox is playing right now, he's still right out there, Kirby.
So two down, Tyler Nelson to the plate. First offering from Femright to Nelson is fouled off the face of the Springer dugout. Talk about that Cano quickness, still hasn't made his way back to the dugout yet.
Just finally making it past home plate back here. We have another score in from Dassel. Maple Lake is also winning 5-0 over St. Peter.
Some Class B powerhouse teams of the past couple of years. The 2012 champion Maple Lake Lakers, 2014 champions in Class C Sobieski Skis. Some victories are on there, you know, with some leads here late in the evening on Saturday night. Two strikes now on Nelson. Two-strike pitch missing up and away from Femright. Nelson is 0-for-3 thus far with strikeouts in the first and fourth, and then a bounce out back to Femright in the sixth. 1-2 the count. Femright right back. 1-2 offering. That has popped a little bleeder that Fox stayed home on for a moment. And now, Kurt, you talked about how deep he was playing. Garrett got fooled off the bat right there. He may have even broke his bat, did Tyler Nelson, but Fox, you know, letting that ball kind of play him, thinking it was going to come at him a little harder, hit that last lip of the grass and slowed down, and it's an infield single there with two outs for Tyler Nelson.
Well, he's playing three steps on the grass for Cano. He was actually one step on the grass right there, and he did get fooled a little bit by when the ball died off there a little bit, but I don't think he had a chance to get that one by as much as that ball died off. Grass is probably getting a little damp at this time of the evening.
So it's an infield single for Tyler Nelson. Joe Serratori and the Greyhounds will take it as the first pitch cut on and missed by Logan Spitzak, who's looking to help his cause right now as he is on the mound for the Greyhounds. I guess you'd call him the Hound Mound, I guess, as the lead at first for Tyler Nelson. As the one-strike pitch, throw back behind and Nelson back safely. Pitch was missing for a ball. Don't fall asleep on Ryan Holthaus back there. He will throw behind you.
Well, he got taught by the best, the man who sat behind the plate for many years for the Cold Spring Springers, Rod Schaefer. Holtie, just like him, is not afraid to throw behind the runner.
1-1 the count. Femright long pause. 1-1 pitch. Delayed steal. Holthaus throw to second base and safe at second on the delayed steal. And now Tyler Nelson in scoring position. Caught him napping right there, Kurt, and he's in the scoring position with two away.
Well, we were just talking about how quick Ryan Holthaus was to not be able to throw behind a runner right there. And what do they do on the next pitch? They go steal second base on a delayed steal, and Springers didn't have a chance at him.
So 2-1 the count with two away. 90 feet closer to tying this thing up are the Greyhounds with Nelson. Good speed at second. Femright's 2-1. That breaks in there. No, it doesn't. It'll be 3-1 the count now to Logan Spitzak. Matt Rasso on deck. Catcher for Austin. 3-1 the count. Femright, couple looks at second base. Long pause. Here he comes. 3-1 pitch. That's in there for a strike right on the corner. Fills things up to Spitzak. Logan on the day. Singled last inning in the seventh. Came around to score the Greyhounds' only run. Fly out and a strikeout before that. He's 1-for-3. 3-2 the count. Femright set. Here he comes. His 3-2 pitch cut on and missed as Femright got him to chase. We talked about how his ninth strikeout ended the seventh was the biggest of the night. I'd say old number 10 was even bigger.
You called it there, Kirby, because with a runner in scoring position again, another inning later into the ballgame, Zach Femright comes up big with his 10th strikeout.
That is strikeout number 10 as Femright threw eight stanzas. He's allowed one run for Austin here in the eighth. They score no runs on one hit. There were no Springer errors, and they left one runner on base. Bottom eight we go. Springers are looking for some insurance in the bottom of the eighth inning. You'll hear it in 1 minute on KASM. Bottom of the eighth, top of the order for the Springers, looking for some insurance right here as they lead 2-1. Here in the bottom of the eighth inning, Logan Spitzak. It'll be the top of the Springer order. Brian Hansen, Garrett Fox, Eric Loxterkamp, their first look at Logan Spitzak. Brian comes up empty, swinging a miss right there. Hanson 2-for-3 on the day, scored a run on a single in the first inning as this pitch popped up right field. Right fielder over for a look is Jordan Hart. He makes the catch in fair territory to retire Brian. F9 out number one.
Right fielder and third baseman have got a lot of action tonight.
That they have. Let's say those two and the shortstop could probably represent about, I'd say, 80% of the outs. I see a couple flyouts to center for the Springers, but for the most part, that's it. Fox looks at a first pitch strike. Garrett scored the other Springer run in that top of the first inning. He had a bunt single. Strikeout in the third, flyout to right in the fifth. One strike pitch, missing down and away. One and one the count. Spitzak right back, 1-1 pitch, Fox hits it. That'll be a foul ball up the right side as Nels Nelson fielding in foul territory. Garrett's in a hole at 1-2. Now from what we've seen over the years from Garrett and earlier this evening, Kurt, that won't be the last pitch of this at-bat.
Nope, Garrett will get his cuts up there, that's for sure, because nobody hits more foul balls in an at-bat than Garrett Fox does.
1-2 the count. He'll probably lace this one or strike out now that we set it as the 1-2 pitch hit into fair territory. This is going to be a tough play. Third baseman unable to bare hand, and Fox with his second infield single of the evening. Coming in, that would have been a very tough play for John Frein, Kurt. We've seen him make some great plays and hustle, but getting pretty late here. We're after the hour of 10 o'clock, 10:35 already. Ball maybe slipped out of his hand a little bit and trying to be a little too quick. And again, not sure he would have got Fox anyway.
He's made some great plays all night, but you said it best there. He would have never got Garrett Fox on that play. Even if he would have fielded that cleanly with his bare hand, that ball definitely died by the time he got to it. And Garrett Fox is quick enough going down to first base. But what a fine effort by John Frein.
So some good speed on the pads for the Springers. Eric Loxterkamp into the batter's box. Good hit and run combo here as Lox looks at a first pitch strike. Loxterkamp was drilled in the hip his last time up. Stole second, then got picked off second. 0-for-2 on the day with that hit by a pitch. Fox's lead from first. He stays put as that pitch cut on and missed. And Loxterkamp in a hole at 0-2. 0-2 the count to the Springer center fielder. Should he stay out of the double play, it'll be Drew Van Looy. A couple RBIs on the evening for Velo. Coming in his first trip back in the first. Pickoff attempt as Fox back safely. For Spitzak, that was the first base runner. He's allowed, and it was a 45-foot hit. So not a bad outing thus far for Logan Spitzak. Two-strike pitch to Loxterkamp is up above the eyes. 1-2 the count now. Winner of this game advances in the Class B state tournament into the double elimination field. Loser's season comes to an end. Fox the lead, pickoff attempt again, and Garrett's back safely without a tag. Solid lead right there from Foxy. 1-2 the count. Spitzak set at the shoulders. 1-2 pitch, Loxterkamp deep in the hole at short. It's fielded. They go to second in time for one. The relay to first, safe at first is Loxterkamp. Oh, boy, Kurt, put a star on that one. What a play by Nate Connor.
You said it best there, put a star on it. He fielded that ball two steps into the grass in left field, turned around and got Garrett Fox at second base, and they second baseman quickly even turned it over to first base, but they didn't have a chance to double up. I'd have bet you weren't going to get anybody on that play, and what a fine play to get Garrett Fox at second base.
Getting him is one thing. They got him by like 10, 15 feet there. Fox was out. He was dead duck. And Loxterkamp, it was a pretty close play at first anyway. Those two can scoot. Loxterkamp is lead from first. Two away now is Drew Van Looy to the plate. Spitzak set. Long pause. First offering to Van Looy. That's in there for a strike. Velo on the evening. Two RBI single in the first inning. Single in the third inning. Struck out in the sixth inning. 2-for-3. On his debut to the 2016 state tournament. Pickoff attempt, Loxterkamp back safely. Spitzak throws over probably more this inning than Nels Nelson did all night, huh?
I'd have to agree with you there, Kirby.
One strike, the count. Van Looy will take high right there. Now 2-0.
Loxerkamp taking a healthy lead over there at first, but he hasn't gone anywhere on the first two pitches.
We'll see Eric again here. Good hitter in the batter's box. You'd hate to run into an out to end the inning with Van Looy at the plate. 2-0 pitch. That's fouled out of play. Good hack at that one by Velo. Scoreboard says 1-2. I'm thinking 2-1. First pitch was a strike, so it is 1-2 the count on Van Looy.
Umpire must have heard your question to me quickly, but I'm saying no.
Might see Loxerkamp go here, though, with two strikes. It's kind of some old-school logic right there. He had his two chances. Let's see if you can get a guy in the scoring position. Drew gets a hit. Eric gets scoot to third. 1-2 the count as spun out. Eric did take a step towards second, but spun out. He's raking that right now as Van Looy fouled it away. So 1-2 the count remains. Safe bet, we'll see Spitzak throw over here. Try to keep an eye on Loxerkamp. Nice night for Van Looy. He'd like to make it a little nicer here. Locks a good lead. Spitzak set at the letters, and there's the throw over. Eric's back safely. 1-2 the count. Even bigger lead now for Loxerkamp. Got my eye on him. He stays put. 1-2 pitch, fouled to the netting. A little battle here from Van Looy and Spitzak. Zach Femright on deck. Haven't seen old Justin Thompson in the pen in a couple innings, Kurt. So safe to assume the ninth will be Z's.
You got that right, Kirby, because Justin warmed up back in the seventh inning, but he's been back in the dugout ever since.
Loxerkamp the lead from first. Spitzak, pitch is fouled away as Eric was running with that one. Good jump for Loxerkamp, but Van Looy had no choice. Can't take that one because he'd end up in the dugout as a called strike three. 1-2 the count remains as Loxerkamp makes his way back to first base. 1-2 the count. Two away here in the bottom half of the eighth inning. Springers lead 2-1. Loxerkamp with a lead again. Spitzak set. That pitch cut on and missed. Van Looy's out on strikes. Dug out by the catcher. Throw to first is in time, and that does it for the Springers here in the eighth. They go somewhat quietly. They did get a single, but a fielder's choice erasing that. No runs, one hit. No Austin Ayers, one runner left on base. Last wraps for the Hounds. That's coming up in the ninth, and you'll hear it on KESM in 1 minute.
Sports play-by-play on your dependable neighbor, Chasm.
Well, here we go. Top nine. It'll be Matt Rasso, Don Bolingberg, and John Frein due up for the Austin Greyhounds. They are the scheduled hitters as it is their last wraps here. They trail by a run. Zach Femright, 2013-14 state tournament MVP. He goes for W number 200 in his illustrious amateur baseball career that in the past, boy, for my money, it's basically unmatched as an era of dominance as could be for longevity, stats, victories, all things of that nature. First pitch in there for a strike to Rasso. As, now we got the tying run on. First pitch down the middle for a strike. Second pitch gets Rasso up on the shoulder. And the tying run on base there with the old beanball.
Not what Zach Fembright wanted to do to start the top of the ninth here with a one-run lead. The last thing you want to do is give anybody a free pass. And unfortunately for Zach, comes a little bit inside and gets him on the shoulder. And we're going to have a pinch runner here at first base, Kirby.
Gabe Kashak will be the runner at first. As Kashak will run, it'll bring Don Bolingberg to the plate. As got to assume a bunt coming here, Kurt.
Absolutely, and Justin Thompson quickly hops out of the dugout, runs down to the bullpen to start warming up for the Springers again.
Femright set, squaring already, as the pitch coming in high for a ball to Bolingberg. Gabe Kashak, the runner at first. Femright's a tough guy to hit. He's a tough guy to bunt off as well. Number 18, Gabe Kashak, running at first base. Squaring to bunt again. Here is Bolingberg. This one is in for a strike that Bolingberg pulled back on. 1-1 the count. Koshak, excuse me. That's what we're going with the pronunciation as the pinch runner at first. Gabe's got his lead. 1-1 our count. Femright set at the belt. Squaring again is Bolingberg, and that one, no bunt needed, as that pitch will be a wild one right there. Back to the backstop as Ryan Holthaus makes his way back to retrieve that ball. Looking a little stiff on his way back there, Kurt. Wild pitch, and now you thought about bunting him to second. Do you bunt him to third?
Oh, I would think they're going to, but it looks like Ryan Holthaus is definitely hurt. It looks like he was almost like pulled a hamstring the way he was limping back to go get that ball, and thank God that Zach Femright quickly alerted him where it was so that the runner wasn't able to take third base on that play. That's the second time tonight when Ryan Holthaus went after a ball. It looked like he went hobbling a little bit after it, Kirby.
So 2-1, the count, as we'll see. We'll watch the top hand of Bolingberg again here. Van Loy's thinking bunt. Bolingberg's not. That pitch missing inside. Now 3-1. No indication of a bunt right there.
I think without a bunt in that pitch, I think Drew Van Loy has to take a step or two back.
As he does. He's not playing normal depth, but he's not playing where he was earlier. Femright set. A pickoff attempt. 3-1 the count. Femright was set and stepped off the back of the rubber, trying to keep that runner, Koshak, close at second base. 1 is our score. Time called as now the batter, Don Bolingberg, is going to have a word with his third base coach.
Want to make sure they're on the same page here, because don't be surprised if they do put the bunt down yet. Put that tying run over at third base so he's 90 feet closer to tying the ball game up.
They're in the seventh spot of the batting order, so John Frine, Chris May, the scheduled hitters after Don Bolingberg here. They'd love to get back to the top of the order. Nate Connor. Femright set. Van Loy in again at first base. Here comes Femright's pitch. 3-1. That's hit in the air to center field. Good read from Koshak. Loxter can't field. Being waved. The throw to the plate is up the line, and we're tied at 2. Base hit, RBI single right there for Don Bolingberg. No bunt needed. We're knotted up at 2, Kurt.
He jumped on that 3-1 fastball right down the middle of the plate, and he quickly hit that into center field. They didn't hesitate at all sending him. I was a little bit surprised with nobody out that they didn't hesitate at all, but it was a smart play on that play because there wasn't even a play at the plate.
Loxterkamp did everything he could, but his throw coming up the line, good throw, might not have even had the runner Koshak. So they bunted earlier to get the tying run to second base. Does John Frine get asked to square around here?
He'll be bunting here, Kirby.
He squares early. Femright's pitch is bunted foul into the netting by John Frine. One strike the count. Frine to be followed by Chris May. 2-2 our score. You look back on the game, Kurt, some base running blunders each way. A couple guys thrown out on the base pass. Changed the game. I wonder where we would be with, Hansen trying to stretch it to a triple, the two-hitter, Jordan Hart, being thrown out at home and trying to steal off Holthaus in the third. As the one-strike pitch, stolen base attempt is fouled at home. And 0-2 the count now.
Eric Loxterkamp picked off second base.
Yeah. As that ball was fouled to the netting. I mean, did that hit Holthaus at some point in the way to the netting, or how did that come about? Off his shoulder into the netting?
I don't know, but it looks like Ryan Holthaus is definitely hurting a little bit on that, and I think the umpire just did him a little bit of a favor, and he went and walked that ball out to Zach Femright and gave him, as Holthaus kind of stretching and doing everything he can before he gets down into his catcher spot here. Because he's definitely hurting somewhere.
0-2 the count. Runner at first is Bolingberg. He left with the last pitch. He stays put this one. 0-2 pitch popped up. No play for anybody. That'll be out of play. 0-2 the count remains. Thompson cranking it up down in the bullpen for the Springers. Femright's pitch count has to be north of triple digits for sure. Tough to strike out 10 guys. In 8-plus innings of work without reaching the century mark on the clicker. He'd love number 11 right here. 0-2 pitch. That's missing for a ball. Throw down to second and out at second base. Thrown out at second is Don Bolingberg. It was a great throw and a great play. I'm kind of curious where the 0-2 pitch was, though, Kurt.
You said it there, Kirby, because I'm not so sure that wasn't a punch-out throw-out right there, because that was a strike right in the outside part of the plate, and Ryan Holthaus must have been knowing that guy was going, because he was kind of etching his way up all the time to get in a good position to throw that guy out at second.
Second time the Greyhounds have ran into an out on the base pass is the 0-2 pitch. Chopped towards third. Terrace Fields throw across the diamond in time. 5-3 to retire John Frein for out number two.
Nice play by Jaron Terracer coming in and fielding that ball, because that ball is definitely getting slowed up right now by the wet grass with all the dew at this time of the night, Kirby.
So two away, ninth place hitter Chris May into the batter's box. 2-2 our score, one run in already here in the ninth for the Greyhounds as the first pitch missing down and away from Zach Femright.
Well, you know, Chasm started the day by having a 12-inning game this morning, and we got the likes of something like that right here, Kirby, in a 2-2 ball game in the top of the ninth.
Noah ID, our technical producer back at the studio, may have just threw up in his mouth a little bit. He was talking to me about how hungry he was before. We go three more innings, he's going to start eating paper back at the sports studio. As the 2-0 pitch missing high now, 3-0, falling behind Chris May. Three wide ones from Femright. Zach right back, 3-0 pitch, outside. Ooh, no, excuse me. In there, quote-unquote, for strike one. Now 3-1 the count. May's 0 for 3 on the day. 3-1 pitch, that's cut on and missed by Chris May. Zach battles back, now 3-2. Full count here. Femright not messing around. 3-2 pitch, low ball 4. Walk issued to Chris May. So he's aboard.
Shortstop, number 21, Nate Connor.
Back to the top of the order, and Nate Connor for the Greyhounds.
He's a freak.
Connor, three strikeouts thus far this evening. As we'll maybe keep an eye on May. Granted, I hope they don't think they can run into two outs this inning, as now they got him picked off. Jeez, you just talk about it, Kurt, and Holthaus throws behind him as May will be tagged out on the base paths, and that does it for the Greyhounds here in the ninth. We just talked about this, how he'll do that to you, and there he strikes again. Ryan Holthaus will pick off Chris May, and that does it for Austin here in the ninth inning. But the damage has been done. They tie things up. They score one run on no hits, or excuse me, Bolingberg got a hit. I'm sorry. No, one run on one hit. There were no Springer errors. Nobody left on base. Bottom nine we go. Springer's looking for a little late inning magic. Walk-off victory possibly. You'll hear all about it if it happens in 1 minute here on KASM.
Live radio, live sports play-by-play on AM 1150 KASM.
Bottom nine we go. Zach Femright to lead things off for the Springers. He's the only Springer who's yet to see Logan Spitzak on the mound. As Spitzak works, this will be his third inning he started in relief. First two ones missing wide as the 2-0 pitch cut on, popped up, foul, and that one will be out of play. 2-1 to Zach Femright. Femright, Alex Jungles, Joe Dempsey for the Springers here in the bottom of the ninth inning. 2-2 our score. Run in the seventh, run in the ninth for Austin. Two for Cold Spring in the top or the bottom of the first inning. Their first two men to come up to the plate. 2-1 pitch, down and in to Femright. Now 3-1. And Logan Spitzak, better be careful here on 3-1. That's all I'm saying. Don't get too cute with Zach Femright. Yeah, Spitzak gets a sign. From Raso, 3-1 pitch that is smacked into right field for a base hit and the leadoff man on for the Springers.
Well, just as you got done saying, don't get too cute with him, he throws him a fastball right down the plate, and Zach Femright slaps that right between the first and second baseman, and looks like Zach Femright's got to stay running here because they ran for him once already.
Yep, we saw Will Halls run for Femright earlier in the game. So he's aboard at first. He'll stay in there.
No, we don't.
Bring Alex Jungles to the plate. See if Juggy will be asked to square one around. He squares. That pitch missing down and away. I talked earlier today about the execution of the sacrifice bunt. I was not impressed by my favorite region, Region 15C tournament. Didn't see that many good bunts. Not a lot of sacrifices. Hopefully that changes in the coming weeks. Jungle squares. Puts that one right in front of home plate. It'll be fielded by the third baseman. Flips it over to first. There we go. Game-winning run. 90 feet closer. Goes to second. Sacrifice in order right there for Alex Jungles.
Alex doing exactly what he was called on to do right there. Move Zach Fernbright over to second base. It wasn't a perfect bunt, but he got the job done.
I believe they will be issuing a walk to Joe Dempsey here. Create a force, and I think it's just good sense. No disrespect to Jaron Terrace. I believe he told me he had the second highest batting average on the team, but you'd rather face Jaron Terrace than Joe Dempsey in the bottom of the ninth with a game-winning run on second base.
Well, and it puts a force on all three bases in the infield there. It makes it a lot different play. You can hit a shot to third and get an out where otherwise you don't have a chance doing things like that. So
Dempsey will be issued the free pass here. So a young man, Jaron Terrace, what's he, 21 years old? I believe not too many opportunities in state tournament action in his young Springer career. Interesting spot for that young lad. There's ball three. As Spitzak finishing up the intentional walk here. Good pause. Ball four. There we go. So Dempsey's aboard. Zach Hinkmeyer with the final words of encouragement over to Jaron Terrace.
Jaron
makes his way to the batter's box. First and second. Femwright's at second. Dempsey's at first. One away. Bottom nine. 2-2 our score. Jaron is 0 for 3. On his Saturday evening. No one will remember the 0 for 3 if things change here in the next 2 minutes for him. So Spitzak back on the mound. Looks in and gets his sign. Righty set. Femwright has lead from second. First offering to Terrace. Aggressive hack. I like it, but Jaron comes up empty for strike one.
He wanted to drive that winning run in on the first pitch right there, Kirby.
One strike the count on Jaron. Femwright leading from second base. Modest lead. One strike pitch. That's off the plate. Evens up at 1-1. Jaron bounced out to short in the second. Struck out in the fourth. Bounced out to short in the seventh. As I mentioned, 0 for 3 thus far. Spitzak set. Checks Femwright at second. 1-1 pitch. Cut on and missed. Off speed right there. 1-2 the count. Terrace in a hole right here. Be followed by Zach Hinkmeyer for the Springers. Should Jaron stay out of the double play? Spitzak looks in for the sign from Matt Rasso. He's set right at the shoulders. 1-2 pitch. That's popped up. Twisting foul, long run. That one will be, that'll drop foul. Terrace with new life. Jordan Hart, Kurt, you talked about how deep he plays. The ball was fouled by a good 30 feet. Tough play for him, but off the bat, where you look at it and you look at where he was, like, oh, there's no way he's getting to that thing.
But he never gave up on it and gave 100% all the way there.
1-2 the count. Spitzak set again as he gets a fresh baseball. 1-2 pitch, missing down and away. 2-2 the count now to Jaron. 2-2 the count. Femwright at second, Dempsey at first. Spitzak set. 2-2 pitch. That's popped up, fouling out of play again. Good job by Jaron fighting that one off. Count will remain at 2-2. It's like when the pitch comes in, everybody here just shuts up and hear a pin drop, other than the baseball whistling in. 2-2 the count once again. Spitzak set, the 2-2, swing and a miss, and Terrace is out on strikes as he chases a ball in the dirt right there. Big out number two for Logan Spitzak.
You said it best there, Kirby, a big out with him there with only one out and a winning run at second base. Unfortunately, Jaron Terrace ends up striking out here, and let's see what the number nine hitter, Zach Hinkmeyer, can do here for us, Kirby.
So Zach Hinkmeyer into the batter's box. Zach's 1-for-3 on the day. Singled in the second, a couple bounce outs to third in the fifth and in the eighth. Middle infield way back, so Femright a little bigger lead at second as the first pitch to Hinkemeyer popped up, fouling out of play. Spit Zach a little get me over fastball right there that Zach attacked. Unable to square that one up as he fouls it away. One strike on Hinkemeyer. Femright singled. He was bunted to second by Alex Jungles. Intentional walk to Dempsey. Strikeout to Terrace. Here we sit with Hinkemeyer. One strike the count. Spitzak checks Femright at second, comes home. One strike pitch just off the corner right there. Evens it up at 1-1. One and one the count. Spitzak looks in. He's set again at the shoulders. His 1-1, Hinkemeyer popping this one up. Nels Nelson over for a look. He'll run out of real estate as that ends up in front of the Springer faithful. Signaling bleacher down the right field line. 1-2 the count. For those curious, top of the order, should the Greyhounds get a shot in the 10th. We're after the hour of 11 o'clock. 1-2 the count. Logan Spitzak set. His 1-2 to Hinkemeyer. That is hit on the ground, softly to third. Third baseman up with it, across the diamond in time. 5-3 to retire Zach Hinkemeyer. Free baseball on your Saturday night. Hinkemeyer retired 5-3. Springers leave the game winner at second. No runs, one hit. No Austin errors. Two runners left on base. Nine complete. It is Austin 2, Cold Spring 2. To the 10th we go. That's coming up in 1 minute here on KASM.
Sports play-by-play on your dependable neighbor, Chasm.
Top 10 we go. Kurt Hemish, what do you think? Crowbar, Jaws of Life. How do you get the ball out of Zach Femright's hand in the top of the 10th inning?
Well, as everybody in Cold Spring knows, Zach Femright is going for amateur win number 200 of his fine pitching career, and he wants to do whatever he can to go get that. And if we lose, he doesn't get it, and if he comes out of the game, he doesn't get it.
Yeah, so. But I don't think that's at all what I was getting at. I'm saying 2-2 game state tournament, you're not taking the ball out of Zach Femright's hand. I don't. If this was win number one or win number 101, he's not giving that thing up. That's what I was getting at. As we go to the top of the 10th inning, Nate Connor, first pitch, swing and a miss from Zach Femright. Connor has struck out three times thus far this evening to Femright. It's the top of the Austin order. Jordan Hart, Matt Cano, two up next for the Greyhounds. Femright's one strike pitch, that's popped up. Van Loy has room, has a play, makes the play in foul territory as Connor is now not exactly the production you were looking for out of your leadoff man, Kurt. 0-for-5 on the day.
No, it's not what you want to see because you want that guy on as often as you can. That's why he's batting that spot. But Zach Femright's at 150 pitches on the evening right now, Kirby.
That's a lot. That is, people sometimes talk about anything over 100 is too many, and he's 50 over that as the first pitch fouled away by Jordan Hart. Jordan on the evening, single in the first. He was thrown out at home plate. He was walked in the third and caught stealing. A couple bounce outs after that as the one strike pitch fouled at home. Hart's in a hole at 0-2.
We think he's up there in pitches, but I can remember a game you and I were announcing when he had like 18 or 19 strikeouts years back. He threw 169 pitches in a nine-inning ball game that night.
0-2 pitch, that's popped up. Short left field, long run for three guys. Hinkemeyer out, nobody's going to be able to make the play as it is a one-out single for Jordan Hart. Not always how hard you hit it, Kurt, just where you hit it, and that's what Jordan Hart did right there, floating one basically over third base for a one-out knock.
He did with Jaron Terrace, Zach Hinkemeyer, and Alex Jungles, all three of them running right to that spot. They all came about 5 feet short from where that ball landed right there.
My teammates from the Richmond Royals listening at home, hula hoop is what I would say to you lads, as that'll bring Matt Cano to the plate. Cano steps in. Big fellow 1-for-4 on his evening. This is the guy the Hounds want up, though, the guy on base in the 10th inning. It's Cano. Inches in, standing right on top of the plate. Femright set. First offering to Matt Cano. Off the corner for a ball. At first base is Jordan Hart. He's had quite the adventure on the pads thus far this evening. Ran into a couple outs. Femrite's 1-0 offering. That's in there for a strike. Cano, he stands right on top of the plate, so there is a corner in there, big fella. If you're going to stand there, you're going to give up some on the inner half, and that's what happened right there, Kurt.
Well, Cano's always been known for standing right on top of the plate there, and Zach Femrite did a great job of putting one on the inside part right there. Might have got a little bit of a break. Cano didn't like the call, but it was good for Zach Femrite.
Femrite's 1-1 offering to Cano. That's off the corner. Now 2-1. Tyler Nelson on deck for the Greyhounds. Jordan Hart at first base. 2-2, top of the 10th inning. Femrite's 2-1 pitch. That's missing inside. Now 3-1 to Matt Cano.
As we're in the 10th inning, that batter's box is wearing a little bit away. It'd be interesting to see where Cano's front foot is if there was a batter's box.
There goes the runner as that pitch is popped up. Jungles, long run, but this one will twist foul in the left field corner as a little hit and run. Good idea right there. I like the style by Austin. 3-1 hit and run right there. You got to assume Femrite's going to come with something, not going to walk him. So 3-2, the count fills up.
Well, like we've said many times tonight, these two teams are very familiar with each other because they've played each other many times over the last how many years.
So full count here. Femrite set, and he's looking for a ground ball. Runner with the lead at first. There he goes. 3-2 pitch. Hit on the ground back to Femrite, and he's only got one play. So the stolen base keeps the Hounds out of the double play right there as Jordan Hart to second. Femrite with no play to second. His only play was to first. Go-ahead run. Now in scoring position for Austin.
Even if Zach Femrite fields that ball cleanly as it bounced about a foot away from him off the glove as hard as Cano hit it back at him, even if he fielded that cleanly with the man running, I don't think they had a play at second base because we got a great view here right behind home plate here at beautiful Optimus Park here in Litchfield. But Cano, think about it, did his job moving the guy over.
So two down, runner in scoring position. Jordan Hart's at second. Tyler Nelson now singled his last time up, and Tim Ilias going to pop out of the dugout, maybe talk things over. Let's see. Nelson, strikeout in the first, strikeout in the fourth, bounce out to Femrite in the sixth, single in the eighth. On-deck batter is Logan Spitzak. Fly out to left in the second, strikeout in the fourth, single in the seventh. So they each have a single at some point here this evening. So it's kind of a horse of peace who you want to face. It's just do you want that force out at any bag, Kurt?
Well, I'm sure that's what they were all discussing. They had the whole infield there together and asking, hey, who should we pitch in this situation? And I kind of agree with Tim Ilias here when he went out to visit him. I think he probably had in the back of his mind to probably walk in this guy because it's huge when you can put a force out at any base there. The only problem is you don't want to put too many more runners on base.
They will be walking him as Fox will be holding the runner on it. Well, maybe. I thought they'd be walking him, but Garrett's just standing there. So we'll see. Nelson into the batter's box. Two away, runner at second. Femrite comes home. That pitch popped up, fouling out of play, so no intentional walk here. As they're going right at him. Granted, that pitch was probably ball one that Nelson swung at.
I thought it looked like it was going to be one of those unintentional walks if you see where Garrett Fox is holding the guy on second base there. But like you said, he went and swung at a ball in the outside part of the plate.
Femrite long pause, one strike offering, breaking ball, tap towards second. Fox fields the second hop, throws over to first in time. Femrite with 10 innings of two runs allowed, 4-3 to retire Tyler Nelson for out number three. That does it for the Greyhounds here in the 10th. No runs on one hit. There were no Springer errors. One runner left on base, and that was a big one. Bottom 10 we go. That's coming up in 1 minute. We're going to need a legal ID back at the studio. We are back in a minute right here on KASM. There we go. Noah ID with the legal ID. I love saying that. Second time I got to say that here today. It's top of the order for the Springers in the bottom of the 10th inning. It'll be Brian Hansen, Garrett Fox, Eric Lockstercamp for the Springers as Logan Spitzak back out onto the mound as Logan's turned in quite the outing of relief here thus far, Kurt.
He's done a great job. He's came in, only allowed two of the nine hits that the Springers have this evening. I believe he came in with one on in the seventh inning. So he's done a great job here in his fourth inning of work.
It was, yeah, in the sixth inning with one away as the one-strike pitch to Hansen. Curveball drops in there. Brian's in a hole at 0-2. He flew out to the right fielder, Jordan Hart, his only time he's seen Spitzak thus far. So quickly two strikes for Spitzak. 0-2 pitch, missing down and away. Brian on the day is 2-for-4 with a single and a double. That double, he got thrown out at third base back in the fifth inning. 1-2 the count.